Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I appreciate God, amen, and I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to be utilized for His glory and His honor. I want to be available to God. And if I can't be available to God, I want to make myself available to God. Amen. I don't want to just think that I'm trying to make myself available. I want to be available. I don't want to think that I'm doing something for God. I want to be doing something for God. I don't want to go through the motions that appears like I'm doing something. I want to be doing something for the Lord. I was speaking to an individual, and he was speaking to me about his endeavors and his efforts, and he was speaking to me in somewhat of a positive way. And I said, well, can I speak to you for a moment in something to help bring a point here? And I said, what if I needed you to work for me for 1 week? And I called on you, and I said, hey, brother, I want you to come help me for a week. And then I come a couple weeks down the trailer, so I said, brother, did you work? Yes, sir. Man, I was there, man. I showed up at 8 o'clock. Man, I was there every day till 5, sometimes even 6 o'clock every day. I was there, man. I was at work. I did exactly what you asked me, and I was there. And the thing is I was trying to make a point, is sometimes we say, well, we're there. We've made ourselves available. We're there. You know, I've done what you asked. I was there. I've done what you asked, Lord. I was in church. I've done what you asked, Lord. I brought my 10%. I've done what you asked, Lord. I did that. But does that make it justified? Just like a man says, hey, I was at work. But then we say, what was accomplished in that 40 hours? And you take one man that comes in with a mind to work, and he does more in the day than this guy done in the week. Now, how do you think God's going to judge it? Is he going to judge things because we was there? Or is he going to judge things of what we accomplished? You know, brothers and sisters, something we need to examine and we need to consider. See, sometimes we find a way, and the Bible says that if we would commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts would be established. And sometimes we think that we've done some sort of a work as unto the Lord, but then when we really would sit and analyze the work, Brother Rob's preaching to himself tonight, but we analyze the work, brothers and sisters, and we analyze the accomplishments of what we've done, and we say, wait a minute, Lord, have mercy, God, help me, Jesus. Some of us here sit under a very powerful man of God, some for longer than others. I was with him for 5 years. And this man, the day star would be setting over an evening like this, and he'd go, there it is, brother, it's setting again. And he goes, it's going to be recorded in history. It's wrote down in the books of what we've done this day is unto the Lord. Nothing's going to change that. What we have done for this day is recorded in history. What have we done for the Lord? You know, why did he do that? Because he was trying to get us in a state of mind to labor in the gospel. Because that's all that matters. Everything else is temporal. Everything else is a lying vanity. Everything else is a snare. The only thing that matters when it's all said and done, the Bible said, if you labor, you labor to have to give. That's all that matters to God. It's His kingdom. It's His throne. That's the only thing that matters. And he said, well, he's a big selfish God. Well, you could judge him that way and look at him that way. But it isn't that way whatsoever at all. You've absolutely been blinded in your eyes and your mind and your understanding if you even think that way. Because brothers and sisters, the dividends of what you've sown that we would call to Him and into Him and even take the crowns that we receive and throw it at His feet, you couldn't even perceive, begin to comprehend, even begin to understand what He truly has in store for you for what you've done. I mean, read His word. You give one of His prophets a drink of water and you become partakers with their reward. I mean, He's a generous, awesome God. And if we would ever think for a moment, you know, like, man, He's just this great, big, ugly, selfish God up there. And if we just don't do everything for Him, He's just going to cast us into hell. That's all He's going to do. You know, I know what I preach and I know what it sounds like sometimes. But you know, brothers and sisters, we got to understand both sides of the realm. You see, you can't do something as unto the Lord. You can't even begin to do something that's under the Lord that you're not going to be partakers. He said in His word, He teaches us that. We become benefactors, so to speak, joint heirs, the Bible says, with Him. We receive everything that pertaineth unto life. He's given us it before we got started, brothers and sisters, when we know that we're ordained into Him. That's who He's looking for, the ones that He's foreknown. Those are the only ones He's going to see, the foreknown, the predestined. The foreordained into Him, brothers and sisters. It says that very plainly and clearly in His scriptures and in His word. You know, brothers and sisters, the thing is that all of our labors and all the things that we do, you know, we say, well, we got to somewhere do something for us. We've got to do something somewhere to make provisions for ourselves, to make sure that we've got shelter and do all those things. I'll promise you this, if you forget about yourself and you really die to self and you don't desire nothing for yourself, don't want nothing for yourself, totally get rid of all of your own selfishness and your own fleshly wants and your own fleshly desires, and you totally give your life to the gospel of Jesus Christ and do everything you can for everybody else and never consider yourself one time, and you will find that you'd be the richest, most prosperous man in all of the world, and it would be recorded all through history and all through time that you would be one of the wealthiest and the greatest individuals ever walked. You say, I don't know about that. I do know about that. This is not something I'm speculating in. I mean, you cannot do something that's under the Lord without being partakers and receiving. God's word is real, amen. I mean, it's yea and amen. It is His word. You cannot do something as unto the Lord without some supernatural benefit that is going to come to you. Now, it's hid from the wise and the prudent. I remember Brother Pike speaking around some realms of that one time, and he's saying, you know, that some people think, well, hey, you know, I heard that if you throw 10% in this thing or a certain amount, that it comes back 100-fold. So, you know, if they walk by and threw it in, they walk out the door and $100 bills are falling out of the sky. They have every banker in town here. God's good, brothers and sisters. Let's continue to be in prayer, and I'm going to go into some scriptures here. Maybe we'll read more, but let's continue to be in prayer for this meeting. I'm expecting some things to take place in this meeting, brother. So there's people that are in serious need. You know, you're talking about people coming. I'm talking about people that sit in with us every single day that are in serious need, brothers and sisters. And we need to be in prayer. Chuck and I was discussing something the other day about, you know, doing something involving people around us and amongst us and brethren and different things. I said, well, it's tough sometimes. You know, you don't want to hurt people, but then sometimes people put themselves in a position you cannot use them. You cannot touch them. You cannot get near them. Sometimes it can be with your own family. There's times that God can tell a father, you get away from your son, you get away from your daughter, don't have nothing to do with them. And you better listen to God. That's a hard thing for a father to hear. That's a tough thing for a father or a son, whatever. That's tough. I can't think of anything tougher when you love your children. And then you find that your heavenly father says, get away from them. You better listen to your Heavenly Father, because your Heavenly Father knows what's best for them. And if He says, get away, then that means that He could expose shame to them and make them come to repentance. You see, we walk in our own little fleshly worlds. Well, this is dad, this is mom, this is brother, this is sister, this is aunt, this is uncle, this is grandma, this is grandpa. We got to get away, brothers and sisters, and we got to get one Father, the Heavenly Father, and let Him be the one that makes the decisions of what we do, how we do it, when we do it, and where we do it at. We need to start listening. Sometimes God wants to talk to you. Sometimes He wants to talk to me. And we get so busy that we're not listening. But even though God tells you to do something, you still got to be listening. It's like your employer, okay, and he says, hey, I want you to go do this today. And he said, get over there and I want this project accomplished. But if he comes over tomorrow and says, I don't want you to touch that today, man, we got something else over here to do. You better listen to what he's saying if you're going to be a good servant, or you'll lose your job. You see how we're paralleling things? But God says, yeah, I want you to do this. Okay, well, this is important. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But you need to be listening, because God might say, wait a minute, stop. I've had Him stop me before. I think, why? Why am I stopping? And He just says, stop. Well, I want to know why, Lord. Why am I stopping? I didn't get nothing. He said, stop. I've had this happen more than one time. Sometimes He wants to know that we're listening. We get so busy thinking that we're doing something for God, brothers and sisters, that we don't stop long enough to listen. He gives us possibly, we might say, an itinerary. He might give us a task to accomplish. So we look and say, okay, I see it, Lord. I know how to accomplish that. And you take off, praise God. But somewhere He wants to make sure that you're still listening. Because maybe in the course of accomplishing it, there might be some sort of a deviation, maybe to grab a soul, or maybe to spare your own life. I'll tell you, one of the biggest mistakes ministers make is they find themselves not God-led, but people-led. This brother says, man, I heard from the Lord. Man, the Lord wants me to do thus, thus, and thus. Would you help? Come help me. Oh, I love to help. I've been in the ministry of helps for a long time. I love to help, man. When you've heard from the Lord and got an endeavor, man, if I could do something like, hey, use this. Oh, here, let me help you this. But somewhere, we got to make sure we're listening to God. We got to know that we're listening to the Lord. Sometimes He can allow things in His work, in His labors, in His field. He can cause things and mishaps and things to happen for we could stop for a moment and listen and hear and make sure. The Bible says that the ministry, again, it said some are like men running and beating at the air. Man, I'm busy. I just used an example. Man said, hey, I was at work all week. Was there 8 to 5. Some days I even worked to 6 for you. But what did you do while you was there? What did you accomplish while you was there? You see, some of us have some poor work habits, naturally speaking. Naturally speaking. We have poor work habits. When you're a Christian, you need to be an example of a contractor. You need to be an example of what a worker is. You need to show people that they can see that this man is a good man. He's honest. He's straight. He does what he said he's going to do. He goes beyond call and duty. You see, if we're a Christian, we're supposed to leave those kind of testimonies. We got to learn to listen to the Lord. I could share so many testimonies with you of my own failures, brothers and sisters, of not listening. You get some direction and you take off and you want to do it in your own way, your own time. And you got it worked out. Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, we could take off and we feel like we're doing it as unto the Lord because we're moving, because we're accomplishing, and because we're going. But when it gets all down to the end of the week, we could look back and say, what is the accomplishment? Why did this man get 4 times as much as me done in this week than what I did? But I was there. Was you there? I've heard too many testimonies from too many people that they look at their life and they analyze it and they're not pleased with what they analyze. They're not pleased with what their accomplishments are. I'm one of them. I could honestly say that. I'm one of them. You hear me say statements like, you know, when it's all said and done down at the end, if we get a report that one soul was added to the kingdom of God from my efforts and endeavors, I rejoice in the Lord. And that is the truth. I would rejoice in the Lord to know that one name has been added into the book of life. But brothers and sisters, on the other hand, I want to know that I've done all that I knew and pressed and gave all. And if I had strength, that I utilize it for the glory of God. How much have you done? What have you done? Have you pressed a little bit? Have you made it hurt a little bit? Have you really pushed in? Or are you running to your own household, seeking after your own things, and then when you get a chance or something, you come think about doing something for God? If we were being weighed in the balances, are we found lacking? Are we found wanting, like the Bible says? Where are we at? What pleases God? How much of your life do you have to give to please God? He says, give your life as a living sacrifice. That's your reasonable service. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. When you think that you got to stop somewhere along to take care of your own things, you've missing God. You go for the Lord, and then He will bless your time. I'm telling you, I've witnessed it. I'm just talking with you a little bit this evening, brothers and sisters. God's word is real. The thing is, brothers and sisters, you know, we're trusting God to take and change this old mortal body into immortality. We're expecting Him to change this. We're expecting Him to take us through the fire and not be burned. We're expecting all of these things. And then when it comes down to it, we reason with Him about the little things. Are we going to go with God, or are we going to go with our ideology, our thoughts, our ways? I mean, somewhere you're going to have to switch over. Somewhere you're going to have to change over. Somewhere you're going to have to say, okay, Lord, here it is. And I've come to a place in my life. It's like, okay, Lord, here I am. For your glory, for your honor, whatever, so be it. If you want to strip me down and bring me to nothing whatsoever, I'm going to stand and praise and rejoice you because you're my God. Amen. And I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. And if that's what He wants to do to show His power and His awesomeness, read the story of Job. Are you willing? Are you there? Are you willing to go through those kind of things? I mean, think about it, brothers and sisters. Surely not. But somewhere we need to sell out. Somewhere we need to surrender. Somewhere we need to stop and listen. Stop and listen. Because we get so busy that we're not listening anymore. We get so busy thinking that we're about His business. We get so busy trying to please Him, and so busy doing it in the way that we think it's to be done. If you're a preacher, you think, well, this is what preachers do. And this is how we go about it. And there's so many of them running and beating at the air and are accomplishing absolutely nothing. And they find that the deacon boards have got them in their ideology too. Well, this is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be over here. You're supposed to be there. You're supposed to be here and you're supposed to be there. And pretty soon they got you so scheduled out that God's sitting back going, I wonder if I'll ever get a chance to use him. That's why sometimes he says, stop. Because sometimes we got to stop and we got to look. We got to analyze. We've got to look and examine. Well, where am I going, Lord? Sometimes we got to look back. Where have I been? I'll tell you what, it's so easy to think that we're pleasing God and we're where God would have us to be and we're doing all the things that he wants us to do and we can think that way. Oh, yeah, man, praise God, I'm where I need to be. I'm doing what I need to do, thus, us, and us. And then when we check it all out and we really look it over, we think, oh, God, help me, Jesus. I ministered to you and spoke to you and talked with you about things that it looks like it's coming upon our nation. It looks like it's coming this way. Do we build grain silos? Do we store up like they did in Egypt when they knew there was going to be seven terrible years? They had seven plentiful and seven terrible. What if the seven terrible's on us and we didn't set away with the seven good years? Was that the way it works? Well, that's allegoric. Those things are there for an example. So should we build silos? I don't think it would work. Are you going to stop the hungry people if they come over and want to pull some grain out of your silo? Is your Christianity going to stand out and guard your silo with a shotgun and not feed? We're going to have to step in another perspective, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you. How do we start? Where am I going to start exercising faith at? Where am I going to start doing this and how am I going to start doing it? Well, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can start by making a commitment unto the Lord. We could make a commitment, brothers and sisters. We could say, hey, I'm going to do something for the Lord every Saturday. If Brother Rob ain't got something going over here or something that I could do, I'm going to go somewhere and do something that's under the Lord for somebody somewhere, somehow. Oh, somebody else will take care of it. Brother Rob's got brethren that'll take care of it. Some of you are so idle with your time. We are. We could be too idle. I'm telling you. Some of you say, well, I'm not idle, man. I'm going and busy all the time. I'm talking about weighing things out in God's mind. We're stopping right now. We're listening for a moment and we're examining. You could be numbered as the greatest entrepreneur the world's ever seen. You could be the wealthiest that ever walked in shoe leather and not know God. And not do anything and have anything stored up in heaven whatsoever at all. That's what we're talking about, is examining what really matters. Brother Pike said the king and the skid row drunk, he said they become one in the same when they put them in the casket. I could see the little worm crawling through the dirt. He said, man, I'm not going to eat on that old skid row drunk. I'm going to go over here and eat this king. You all become equal at that point. Hey, this guy had 15 million bucks when he died. This guy didn't have nothing. He owed 50 million. It don't matter. Y'all become the same old hunk of stinking flesh. The worms don't care. Nothing cares. Brothers and sisters, the thing is that what matters? See, we got to stop and listen somewhere. We got to stop and tune in someplace. We got to stop and examine. We'll find ourselves running and beating at the air. We'll find ourselves being so pressed and pushing with so much anxiety and all these things. But if we would stop and look, it accomplishes nothing. You say, what is it, Brother Rob? What are you saying to us tonight? What is it, Brother Rob? You know, we got to work. We got to eat. We've got to do those things. I say, yea and amen. I'm not against that. I'm telling you that if you would refocus and reanalyze your life, he'll never leave you or forsake you. Well, Brother Rob, I'm busy, I'm going, I'm doing this. Stop and listen just for a moment. What do you got? What does the Lord see? Brother Pike told a man when his daughter was out there on the side of the road, busted up in a car wreck, and her brain swelling out of her head, not knowing she's going to live. And he said, listen, stop and listen. Do you remember what you done unto the Lord? Do you remember that you took your time out every morning and brought the preacher a cup of hot tea? He said, God remembers that. Let's call on the Lord and bring it to his remembrance that there's an account that you've done something that's unto the Lord. If you give a preacher a glass of water, you become partakers. And he goes, let's remember the cup of tea that you gave every morning and called on the Lord, and his daughter lived. What are we saying? Stop and listen. Examine. See, we get so busy that we're not hearing. We get so tied up that we're not examining and considering. Do you think the man that the Bible's speaking about that's running and beating at the air thinks that he's running and beating at the air? He thinks that, man, follow me, watch me, I'm the one that's making something happen. But he's not, he's just beating at the air. Because he isn't stopped long enough to listen. Do you think God's just allowing him to do that? I'm sure that he's trying to direct him and lead him and guide him, but he's not listening. Are we listening? Have we considered? Have we studied to be quiet? You think, what does that mean, Brother Rob? Well, it fits in more than one dimension. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, there's people that come into your midst and into your presence and they're troubled. Their waters are troubled. Man, they could put something on in front of you like everything's okay. They could speak to you and they could talk to you. They could put on an act to you and you think, man, everything's fine. But there's troubled waters there. Everything's shaken. There's no peace there. The Spirit of God really has a problem resting there because of the troubled waters. If you could look at things beyond the veil, beyond what you see with these eyes, and see what's really happening in the place and the realm that it matters at, there is a dimension, brothers and sisters, that things matter in. Because there's an eternal realm, an eternal dimension. This thing that we live in, this thing that we touch, this thing that we walk in, this thing that we are living and dwelling in right here, is all temporal. It's here for a moment and then it's gone and it passeth away. It has an end. It has a number of days. It's corruption. It's corruptible. What we store away here doesn't matter. It'll matter to you for a few short years, but then it doesn't matter no more. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we find ourselves led by the wrong spirit. Satan has dividends and rewards. He's got an awesome program, he really does. He does. He will bring a vindication promptly. God's realm is the same way. I'm telling you that when your ways please God, you'll prosper. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. God wants you to prosper, brothers and sisters. And he wants you to take the prosperity that he gives you to help others prosper. Then you found the principles of God, how you continue to prosper. Prosperity, brothers and sisters, isn't measured always in a dividend perspective, what we might call liquid assets or something tangible. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we have to look. We have to analyze. We have to examine. You see, brothers and sisters, we go through life. The Satan, the carnal mind, that's enmity with God. He's got us so perplexed and he's got us so busy and so running that we forgot what's important. What's important? What is important in this life? If you don't have nothing to eat, I know you're going to say, well, it was important. I should have worked. The Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, I look at everybody out here and everybody's fulfilled that scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. You've all worked and y'all have eaten and eaten good. Okay, glory to God. But what about the other accomplishments? And what about the other labors? What about the other things that we've done? What pleases God? God's pleased when he sees that you have your homes. He's pleased to see that you have those things. But what's important to him? Are you going to stand before the Lord? He says, well, because you had all of your finances in order and your house paid, I'm going to go ahead and bring your mama in. Is that what pleases God? The Son of Man didn't even have a place to lay his head. The bird had a nest. Fox had a hole. If he's our example. So what are you saying, Brother Rob? Do we give up everything in this world? You should be willing to. He may not require that of you, but if you're not willing to, he might require it of you. What are you going to do when he asks you to do that? Like the wealthy man. He said, give it all away. Has God ever asked you to give something away that meant anything to you? It's easy to give the halt away, the broken away, the lame away. That's easy to do. Oh man, I'm real generous, man. This old coat I wore it for 17 years, got the elbows sticking out. I'm going to give it away. And walk away with a smile on your face. If that's you, go to the closet and get your brand new one and give it away. The Bible does truly say it's more blessed to give. Some of us give reluctantly. Some of us give willingly. Some of us give with a real heart and a desire to give, and we're happy to give. You know, brothers and sisters, we could look at your strengths. We could look at your weaknesses. And you all, some of you know your weaknesses. Some of you know your strengths. I could talk and commend you for some of your strengths and things. But if you've got weaknesses, let's make those weak areas strong. When I was speaking the other night about exercising faith, I used the example about the guy that couldn't do a couple push-ups, and I said he needed some exercise in another realm, didn't he? But if he could recognize where he's weak at, then he could do something to exercise that area where he's weak at. But what about you? What about me? Where can we start exercising faith? Where can we start exercising to make sure that we have stopped, that we make sure we have listened, make sure that we have truly examined ourselves, if we've really considered? Well, I'm conditioning you. This is why I'm speaking like I'm speaking tonight, to stop, to examine, to listen. It's going to be so crucial, brothers and sisters, that we can't get directions and just go. We're going to have to get the directions and go, but be listening in the go of how to go, where to go, how to move, when to move. We're going to have to start getting more sensitive to the spirit world and to the supernatural, because it is going to be so close it could deceive the very elect. There's going to be so many things that are so close. There's a lot of correct messages going forth. Joel Osteen is preaching an absolutely perfect, correct message, but only part of it. This is why he's got 46,000 followers, because he's preaching the truth, but he's not preaching all of it. But see, this is what the people are running after. Somewhere we got to stop and listen. We've got our itinerary, we got our schedule, we got our program, we got our agenda, we got our jobs, we got our careers, we got our occupations, we got our beacon scores, we got our bankers, we got everything, and we need to stop and listen to God. Because when all that goes away, and all that melts away, and you don't have anything but Him, and He don't care about none of the others, then maybe we waited too long to listen. What is he saying? Do we have quiet time with him? When we pray, is it, oh Lord, thank you for this food. Oh God, hey, help me out on this job tomorrow. Oh God, I need this and that. Hey, I need this part. I need this. I need that. You know, and then pow, we're gone. Do you ever listen? When you pray, do you ever listen? Who wants to talk to a God that doesn't talk back? Who wants to have fellowship with a God that isn't fellowshipping you? If I take off with my wife and say, I want to spend a day with you, let's fellowship. She sits there and looks out the window all day. That ain't too good of a wife, and it ain't too good of a day. I'm going to read a scripture to you. And it's from my heart right here. This scripture is absolutely the best little scripture I could read. Talking about me speaking to you. This is in 2 Corinthians, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, while you're turning over there, what Brother Rob wants of you, and what I expect of you, and what I'm looking for each and every one of you. I'm talking to all of you now. I want the best for you. I want your life to be fulfilling. I want you to have nice things. I want you to have nice, dependable automobiles. I want you to have shelter. I don't want you just to have shelter. I want you to have air-conditioned homes, man, where it could be nice and cool inside. I want you to have heat in the wintertime. I want your refrigerators to be full. I want you to be happy. I want you to have plenty of time that you could have with your families and love them and be a good grandmother, grandfather, mom, dad, whatever it is, aunt, uncle. That's what I want for you. I really honestly do. But I want, in the midst of all of the things, that I want you to please God. And I want you, in the midst of those things, be storing things away in heaven. I want you to make sure that you're truly examining, and that if you're going to say, I'm going to give a day to the Lord, or I'm going to give 2 days to the Lord, or if I'm going to give 3 days to the Lord, that whatever day that is that you give, that you make that day really prosperous. What I'm trying to say is, if you're going to give a day to the Lord, if you're going to give a day and go out there, and if you make $1 a foot or $5 a foot laying tile, and you go out there and you lay 2 feet, and Brother Steve's got a mind to work, and he goes over there and he lays 200 feet. Why couldn't that have been you that walked away with the blessing of 200 feet? You understand what I'm saying? I say, look at him for an example. He made 200, you made 2. Look at him as an example. But let's talk about the things of God now. We could have Satan blowing and robbing us, and we say, hey, we're going to take some time, or we're going to do something for the Lord, but I see that you're not reaping the benefit of it because Satan has come in and robbed you. I'm looking for a balance. I'm not preaching a message like this for my needs. I'm talking about for you. What you do is unto the Lord. You do it as unto Him, the kingdom of God. It pleases God. Brothers and sisters, I haven't always been a pastor. I know what it is to labor in a brotherhood and to work and make myself available and to push and to press. I know what it is, and it brings forth fruit. It brings forth life. It brings forth substance. It's not all about materialistic things. Brothers and sisters, we got to really, truly consider and look and examine. If I'm a physician and you're a nurse, you're an x-ray technician, You're an anesthesiologist. You're a janitor. You're a nurse. You're whatever. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose for you being there. There's a purpose that you're at the hospital. And it's to help the sick to get well. So if the Lord says that I'm a physician, then what are you? What can you do to offer an assistance? What can you do to offer help? Can you think about what Brother Rob preached about tonight? Can you maybe consider that and pray somewhere in there? Brothers and sisters, let's realize what we're here for. Why are we here? Why are we a brotherhood? Why are we a team? Why are we winning souls? What are we trying to do? Brothers and sisters, it's all going to be checked out one day, and everything and every deed and everything that we've done is going to be, we're going to be accounted for. And then when they check out your account and you're in bankruptcy, it's too late then. So let's start examining and looking at the account that we have stored away. And you think, well, so Brother Rob, I could do all these things and I could boycott God, or I could do this and that and tell God because I done this. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's people that have called on Lord that have never done nothing for God and walked away healed and delivered and set free. But I'm telling you, if you commit your works unto the Lord, then your thoughts are established. And when you pray, you could believe. And when you touch, then you could agree and you could believe and you could see something happen and see something that takes place. And I know we have an obligation, each and every one of us. It's not mine and mine soul alone. You understand that? What is it? What is God calling on us for? Each and every one of us we need to utilize in one mind and one accord. 120 got together in one mind and one accord, and it brought the power of God to a people that could set and liberate a world, set them free. Brothers and sisters, and this is what we've got to do. We get too lascivious and too lighthearted and too churchy, and we're just going to church. It's our obligation. It's our duty. It's what we're supposed to do. But we got to say, why? Why are we going to church? To be utilized for the glory of God. That's what it's about. It's not for me. We are all going to come for others. Seeking others' better well-being. The others' health. The others' welfare. The others' healing. The miracle for the other. And when you're so busy seeking out that, your needs will be added to you. Amen. If Brother Troy comes out here Saturday and he's hungry and had no money and no food, but he come out here and he says, man, I've made a commitment. I'm going to cook for the brethren, man. I'm going to work and I'm going to labor and I'm going to grill and I'm going to help. He won't leave hungry. That's the way God works. When you're busy pressing in for him, doing more for him. Examine yourself. Look. Okay, here we are, chapter 2. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I write this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in y'all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence to Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the Savior of death unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, a man of God's pouring his heart out there. And brothers and sisters, I pray and hope that you could take heed and truly listen. It's easy for you to say it's my responsibility or someone else's. Brothers and sisters, what part of the responsibility are you taking? But what about these ones that have fallen away? What about these ones on the horizon that look like they're falling away? What about the ones that might be cut off where God's Spirit will no longer strive with them? What about these marriages that are being weighed in the balance right now while I'm standing here? And it looks like it's shaking and it could go either way. I heard a woman tell her husband, I hate you. A man or woman that would tell their husband or wife they hate them, they need to get born again. How could a man hate a woman that travailed to bring his children into the world, stood with them at nighttime in the middle of the night when they're sick or needing help and caress them and care for them through the night? How can a woman say she hates a man that's out laboring to give her a place to live and a place to stay? There's somewhere the devil's come in and the demonic spirits have come in and taken their mind into captivity and taken their thoughts. Well, that's their problem. That's the problem. That's what I'm dealing with tonight. It's not their problem. It's your problem. If you're supposed to fill the infirmities and we see people falling away and people perishing and we just go on, hallelujah, praise God. We got church tomorrow night. We got church, you know, amen, hallelujah. What is church all about? What is a hospital for? If Jesus said it's the sick that need a physician, what is it all about? We've lost our nation. Christians have lost their voice and are supposed to be a Christian nation and country. They can't say nothing. Now they're passing laws right before us that they're even closing our mouths more and more. My wife goes down there to the government office and said, look, we're a church. This is church property and church things. We're not supposed to have to pay taxes on church property and stuff. And they laughed at her and mocked her. Left with no results. You see, everything's getting boycotted for the mind of God and the mind of Christ. Have we shut up too long? Well, I listened to the message tonight. I heard say, shut up and listen. Have we listened? What can we do? What's the answer? Is it grain silos? Is it 12-foot walls around our property with little machine gun slots in it? Is it the David Koresh thing and get basements and put bombs and stuff in it? We can't come against the government. It don't work. There's only one thing we could do. We could be like the Hebrew children. We can go through the fire without getting burned. But we got to get somewhere where we got faith in God. And we know that we've done all that we know to please God. And we've truly examined ourselves. And when we walk in the face in the valley of the shadow of death, we have no fear. Because we know that we've pleased God. And our way is pleasing to God. And there's virtue and anointing in our lives. You've got to find that. I could lay hands on you and the virtue of Jesus Christ could flow through me. And could take an infirmity away from you. But brothers and sisters, there's going to be somewhere that you're going to need virtue in your life to go forth from you, to change the circumstances that you're standing before. The Hebrew children, they prayed, trusted the Lord. They had a leader, and manna came out of heaven for them. There was no well. There was no wilderness waterworks with a big water tank out there. No water meters. But he smote the rock, and it brought forth water and provisions. Oh, but you're talking about the God that was. I say, yes, I am. I'm talking about the God that is. And if he's no respecter of person, why when Moses brought himself and brought and led these people out into a place of need, there was no welfare, there was no government, there was no food stamps, there was no savings account, there was no grain silos, there was nothing but a desert out there. And 3 million souls that were hungry and thirsty and needed provisions. And he brought water out of a rock. Rained manna out of heaven. Then the thing is, brothers and sisters, have we forgot about that kind of God? You know why we forgot about that kind of a God? Because we're the Laodicean Day church and we're rich and we have no need of God. Why would we have to have faith? Why would we have to have prayer? Why would we have to press in? Why would we have to cry out to God? Because we got everything that pertaineth unto life. We've got all the provisions, we got finances, we got food, and we have no need. But what happens when all that's taken away, and then it comes time to exercise faith in God, and we've never exercised it, and we've got no strength, and then we perish? That's exactly what'll happen. We'll perish. And maybe we'll find our soul in the perishing. I don't want to find myself weak. I don't want to find myself in despair. I want to find myself standing upright before my enemy and the adversary with strength. I want supernatural strength. I can't purchase it. I can't buy it at Walmart. It's something that I've got to exercise. It don't matter how wealthy you are, you could exercise faith in God. Start looking in realms that your finances and your money won't meet. And if you don't look for realms in that, then God will find them for you because He's more concerned about your soul. He's concerned about you knowing how to operate in a realm called faith. Because without faith, you'll never know God, you'll never see God, nor never please God. The only way that you're going to know Him, please Him, and have fellowship with Him is by faith and through faith. Amen? And the only way that you're going to do that is by exercising faith. And the thing is, it is your obligation and it's you that has to do that. There's been wealthy people that's come before the Lord for faith. Some tried to purchase it. They got cursed. Some came looking for it and got blessed. Faith has blessed some and made them wealthy that had nothing. But faith made them prosper naturally, prosper financially, and raised them up. So it don't matter where you're at, if you're poor or if you're rich. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. But what matters is that you learn to exercise faith in God. How long does being fine last for? How long does being healthy last? Strength and health is a blessing, yes. On the other hand, maybe if you was in some infirmity somewhere and you found faith in it and found hope and found trust in God and found deliverance, and it might move something in another dimension for you that could liberate you and set you free. Let's exercise faith. If everything's okay at your household and everything's fine in your place, and everything's going good, feel the infirmities of some of these that are suffering right now. Feel the infirmity of some of them and maybe step in there and start praying and start believing and start trusting. And let's look for a miracle and expect a miracle and trust God to see Him move. Sometimes people come in, they know the motions, they cry a little bit. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm saying. Some of you will remember this, some of you won't. Man came to church drunk. I came in the door. Some of you brethren had him back around the back in the church on Fairfield. And you had him back in the back and just counseling and talking to him. I just came in and observed for a minute, sizing it up. Had a stranger standing in the back of the church. I perceived real quick he was drunk. And he's a run in his mouth and big way of talking, and the brethren were talking to him. Bit encourage him, talk about the Lord and different things. I just examined for a moment. And I let him talk and I let him talk. And I walked up to him. I said, "Sir, we're getting ready to have church." And I said, "If you'd like to get delivered of this devil of alcoholism that's got you bound," I said, "you could stay and have church with us." And I said, "Well, we're fixing to have church. You're welcome to stay. Just sit down." So he did. I went to preaching. He squirmed all over. I mean, he was a squirmer, man. He went out the door, got up and left. Come back in, squirmed some more. Got up and went out the door, come back in, squirming around. I stopped preaching and I opened up the altars. And I said, "If you want to get delivered from that demon spirit, the altars are open." And the man came into the altars. I laid hands on him. I started rebuking Satan. And the man went, I mean, his head barely cleared the pew. I mean, it kind of went underneath the pew. Might even hit it on the way down. But man, he went down on the floor, man, and I mean, he hit the ground. And I looked at him. The Lord said, "That wasn't me." Talking about listening now. We could have went, "Woo, glory to God. Praise God, we're charismatic, boy, got slayed in the spirit, woo-hoo, yeah, glory to God, hallelujah." But no, the Lord said, "That wasn't me! That wasn't me! What was it then? It was the devil that knew he was standing before the living God that was going to get cast out, so he done an action. This is my time to do something. Turn the tears on! Do something!" No, he slammed himself on the floor. Oh yes, and all the churches, and all the Pentecostal churches, oh man, that's the move of the Holy Ghost. That's the move of the Spirit. That's God. No, it wasn't, because my God said to me, "That wasn't me." Well, I didn't hit him, Lord. I didn't even push on him, God. He just fell down. Well, he was moved by a spirit, and I was too. And the next thing I knew, I was on his lap on the floor with him. And I grabbed him by the shirt and I said, "Come out of him, you unclean, foul devil." He started fighting. And I rebuked that devil and I slammed him to the floor again. My dad said, "I didn't know whether to help him or you." But the devil left. It broke the spirit off of him. And why do we preach like this? Because somewhere we got to stop and we got to listen and we got to examine, or we'll be guilty our own self. You see, brothers and sisters, Satan's real. He plays for real. He plays for real. He'll make you think you're doing God a service. He'll make you think that you're all right. He'll make you think that you're running with God and you're beating at the air. So let's listen and let's examine. How do we get right with God? And truly praying before the Lord and asking God, say God, and start calling and expecting when you're praying and you're speaking and you're asking and you're talking to the Lord and you're expecting Him to move in your behalf. And you say, God, I'm standing in the gap. I'm praying, Lord God, that a supernatural miracle takes place. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and you're petitioning and you're pleading with the Lord and you're fasting and you're praying. And then when He comes to church and you find the preacher, call Him in the altar. You can say, this is the moment. I watched my daughter Stephanie do it when she was about 9 years old. Got on the telephone before service, said, man, you better come out. If you want to see her, get out of the wheelchair and walk. It's going to happen tonight. And she's calling all over town. And it was an anointing. And it was power. And it was an expectation. And things happened. The sister received a healing that had no feeling from here down. She was in a wheelchair. Had no movement. Her legs, her feet being out like this, her ankles and her toes pointing out from. She had no movement whatsoever in her legs and no feeling whatsoever, and had it for years. But she had a little friend named Stephanie that was praying and calling on the Lord and started getting faith in God and was expecting a miracle and started getting on the phone, a little child, come to church tonight. She's going to get out of a wheelchair. And they rolled her into the altars. And the preacher said, there's a little gal here, man. He said, I can't help. I have to call you in altars. This little gal right here has got faith for you to get out of this chair. He said, I'm not going to yank you out of this chair. But he said, there's something happening here. And he asked her, what's wrong with you? She had spinal cord injuries. No feeling. She knew what Christianity was. Raised up in church, in a Pentecostal church, but been out in the world. Drinking, partying, smoking. Yeah, you could smell the stench of Marlboros on her that night. But God was doing something for her because of faith in God. The preacher said, so you don't have no feeling? He said, close your eyes and lift your hands to the Lord. And he reached down and touched her ankle. He said, what foot am I touching? She said, the left one. I thought you said you had no feeling. He said, I don't. Well, how do you know I'm touching the left one? She said, I felt it. And he said, well, which one am I touching now? The right one? I thought you didn't have no feeling. Can you move them? She said, no. And he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, he said, I want you to move this right foot. And she moved it. And he said, I thought you said you couldn't move it. She said, well, I couldn't. Well, you just moved it. What was happening? It was the beginning of a healing and a miracle right there. Sometimes these things can be conditional. God was trying to reach a little Pentecostal gal and say, hey, you need to turn back to your first love. I'm doing a work in your life. But she didn't do that. I believe the gal would have been walking today. I honestly do. If she would have pressed in. But she went home that night. Married to my cousin. And this is what he told me a day or so later. He didn't believe anything happened. And she was in bed asleep that night, or in bed, or he was asleep, and she woke him up. She said, John, she said, my foot's cold. He had been living with a girl that was a paraplegic for years, and he said, what are you talking about? Your foot's cold. You don't have no feeling in your feet. She said, would you please cover up? My foot is cold. So he gets up, turns on the light. Guess what? Her foot was out of the cover. Never asked him to do that before. And he thought, that's weird. So he reached down and he feels her foot. Guess what? The foot that was sticking outside the cover was cold. And he said, well, so he stuck his foot up under and felt the other one, and it was warm. Why? What was happening? Somebody was praying before the meeting. Somebody was calling on God, saying God is going to do something. But I'm talking about somebody that got before the Lord. She wasn't thinking about who's looking at me, who's watching me. She was caught away. She was gone. A little kid couldn't do that. Couldn't make that happen. Praying in another language. And I mean, not just blah, 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 blah. I mean, the intercession of the Spirit of God was coming forth powerful. It moved the heavens. It moved God. What's your excuse? Old man, young man, what's your excuse? If a little child could petition the throne of God and get faith in God and concern for somebody else, it wasn't what can God do for me. I want a new bubblegum machine in my room, a new Barbie doll. I want a pink bicycle. No, it was concern for somebody else. Have you petitioned God for you and you alone and you only? We need to petition the throne of God. We need to be before the Lord expecting a miracle and praying and believing and trusting God. What about your daughter? What about your brother? What about your friend? What about your boss? What about your mother? Brothers and sisters, there's people perishing all around about us, and some of them are calling themselves Christians. They say, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of the Spirit? Can you be a Christian and not be in church? How come we can violate that word? The Bible said, don't forsake the assembling together. What are we going to do about that? Can we be a Christian and violate that? Can we be a Christian and rob God and never pay tithes? Can we be a Christian and never sow into the kingdom? Hey, this is camping. Hallelujah. We got to start being concerned. I'm talking about other people. What about you tonight? Where are the allowances that you're making? Where is the weakness in you? Where are you not examining yourself? It's easy to pick on this one and that one and this one and that one. Where are you at? What have you done? What have you done to make yourself available to God? Have you made it hurt a little bit? Have you truly made a sacrifice? Brothers and sisters, these things are heavy on my heart. Some of the ones that need it the most can't see it the worst. They walk in a place that they think that everything's okay and they're so far away. And sometimes the ones that could help them, they reject the most. You know why? Because we think too highly. We will go around comparing everybody to our own selves. And we think too highly. The Bible said it's Satan that's the accuser of the brethren. And if we're always accusing a brother and always accusing and always accusing and always accusing and always accusing and always accusing, then what is it? It's Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren. And when we're always accusing and accusing and accusing and accusing and accusing and accusing, it's the devil. We got to wake up and realize that. And we can be so religious and so self-righteous that we can't help nobody. And all we could do is kill and maim and destroy and kill because Satan has come into our midst and he wants to destroy and to kill. Somewhere we got to love. Somewhere we got to reach out. Somewhere we got to be concerned. Somewhere we got to get on our face before God and say, God, set them free. God, deliver them. God, heal them. And then in the midst of that, he's setting you free. And he's healing your infirmities and taking those things away from you. Let's get real with God. Saints, let's start having camp meeting tonight. Let's take heed to what we heard tonight. And let's go before the Lord. And let's pray. If we got to work tomorrow, let's pray and work. And let's talk to God. And ask God to move in our midst and to move in our camp meeting. Amen. By the Spirit of the Almighty God. And deliver and set free and heal. Amen. It's your responsibility. Saints, let's get real with God. Stand together. I hope you leave the house of God tonight with a burden of prayer. Brother Pike said, I feel the load of the world on my shoulders. He felt the load of humanity on his shoulders. This preacher that wrote me the letter, he said, brother, he said, we don't have this kind of message over here where I'm at. He said, we need help over here where I'm at. Whose responsibility is that? Whose responsibility is that? Presses to roll, literature to check. We got to put it in the mail. Then we got to buy more paper, and we got to keep going. That's your responsibility, saints. It's my responsibility. It's each and every one of us. We're a team. Troy stepped up again. I'm saying this again. Going to spend $800-900. What if Troy don't do that next month? Maybe Andrew will. Stevie, how many times you bought paper down there? I know Stevie, he was the press man. He was buying paper time and time and time. He'd go out working on a job, taking his check and going and buying paper for him, get down and do his calling. Well, that's the preacher's responsibility, man. He's printing for the preacher. Let the preacher buy the paper. Well, he felt the burden. He took the weight on himself. You don't know how many times he went and worked and labored and bought paper himself. I heard a sister testifying about another sister that worked in the mailing room. And she was out doing little things to raise some finances to stuff to get money to make the mailing and meet the mailing needs. and was working and cleaning houses and taking the money to mail stuff into the foreign fields. You see, these are people that are putting something away in heaven. They've got a vision and they're putting something, a treasure away that no rust, no moth, no decay, that the devil can't rip it away. You understand that? So praise God, we're talking about a sister, we're talking about a brother. I'm talking about you right now. What are we doing for God? What are we doing that's putting something away in the eternal kingdom of God? What are we doing to store up some virtue in our life that when there's a need, when it's a friend, when it's a mama or a daddy that's dying, that you can get faith in God and pray? What is it? The doctor said I had hepatitis C. My kids have enough sense to know that's a death sentence. And they went before the Lord. Instead, he says, I got faith in God. The same faith when I was praying for that other girl down there in a wheelchair. Said, I don't believe it. We're not going to let it happen. And they were praying. And the doctors changed their report.
Amen.
What about it, brothers and sisters, when it's your mom and when it's your dad? I couldn't even pray for myself. I said, Lord, so be it. I can take whatever it comes. Amen. But I'm going to utilize this body in weakness or strength for the glory of God and the kingdom of God. And that's my convictions and that's my life. And I'm going to do it in sickness and weakness and health and strength. I don't care. I'm going to give my body for the work of the Lord. When my body aches and it pains, when I'm standing on a conflict floor, I said, shut up. And I keep on getting it. Amen. And I keep on going for the Lord. Amen. But what about when you're called on? When you've got the death sins, or when your brother or sister or wife's got it, are you going to have enough virtue? Are you going to have enough Holy Ghost? Are you going to have enough God in you to call on Him? We got friends coming. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters. And we got friends coming with needs into the house of God. This week, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because the preacher's going to be watching. When I say I want you to come into the altars and pray, I might ask some of you to step back. Because I'm going to be watching by the Holy Ghost. I might ask some of you to step back. And I might ask some of you, why ain't you up here? I'm saying to consider, examine, and say I'm going to be part of the body of Christ, bone of His bone, and flesh of His flesh. And I'm going to be in prayer. And I'm going to be concerned about this meeting. Could be your last one. Well, I'm too young. Yeah, I've seen the little boxes. I've seen the big boxes. Ain't too young. You ain't too old. All right, Brother Ed, let's sing a song or two. We're having church, brothers and sisters. We're in camp meeting, amen. Why y'all so heavy? Why y'all so quiet? Man, this is camp meeting, praise God. We come here to serve the Lord, amen. We come here to get some direction. We come here to get some orders from the Lord, amen. And God's calling on you tonight. He's saying, sons and daughters, I need you. I need your help. I need your life. I need you to press. I need you to give. I need you to sacrifice. I need you to pray. Amen. Are you listening? Have we listened? Are we listening to the Lord tonight? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, touch these brethren, touch these sisters, touch their heart, touch their mind in the name of the Lord Jesus. Put a burden, put a conviction in their hearts, Lord God. Take their sleep from them, Lord God, and let them petition the throne of God. Let them find themselves wailing out between the porch and the altars, Lord God. For souls and for sickness and diseased people. Oh, Lord God, use us. Use our lives, Lord Jesus. Use us for your glory. Use us for your honor, Lord God. Let us bring honor to your name's sake, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, anoint us. Fill us, O mighty God, with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, put a burden in our hearts, Lord God, for the heathen and for the lost, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, let us remove all self-righteousness. Let us get rid of all religious ideologies, Lord God. And let us stand before you pure and clean and holy and godly. Let the virtue of the Holy Ghost live in us and flow through us, Lord God. Let us be instruments of righteousness, Lord God. Let us be utilized for the glory of the kingdom of God. Father God, we're believing tonight. We're standing together tonight. We're believing tonight. Together in unity, in one mind, in one accord. Lord God, we're trusting you, Lord God, and saying, cleanse us, Lord. Clean us and forgive us of our sins and fill us with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Let us be utilized for the kingdom, Lord God. Father, use us. Father, teach us to pray. Teach us to believe. Teach us to expect. Lord God, a miracle in the wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Are you in love with Jesus? Or do you have an expectation of God to use you? You say you're not worthy. No, you're not, but He made you worthy. Worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Accept the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost and let Him wash you and let Him cleanse you and let Him make you whole and let Him make you free, that you can stand upright. Amen. And that you can walk in the counsel of the living God and be utilized for the glory of God. Father God, I commission these brothers and sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus for the utilization of the ministry and the work of God. Father God, use them. Use their life, Lord God. Use their substance. Use their finance. Use their strength. Use their wisdom. Use their understanding, Lord God, for the glory of the kingdom of God. Take them, Lord God, and use them up, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brother Jonathan.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.